Hello and welcome to the Thesis Driven Leader Series. I'm Brad Hargraves, founder and editor-in-chief of Thesis Driven, and your host today for the Leader Series. Today we're joined by one of the most powerful voices in real estate, Sue Iannaccone, the CEO of Anywhere Brands. You may not have heard of Anywhere, that's okay, but you've probably heard of some of the real estate brands they own. Better Homes and Gardens, Real Estate, Century 21, Coldwell Banker, Sotheby's, Corcoran, and many more. That makes Anywhere Brands by far the largest brokerage in terms of the number of transactions that they represent in their family of brands. It gives Sue a really interesting high-level view of what's happening across the residential industry and how various macro trends are hitting. We're having this conversation in the midst of a lot of changes, a lot of transformations in the residential market, and frankly, a lot of uncertainty out in the market right now. Obviously, interest rates are high. They've been high for a while. That hits everyone in the real estate industry. But there have also been some big policy changes that are specific and impactful to residential brokerage. Last summer, for instance, a lot of people were terrified about the impact of a DOJ case that changed buyer side commissions. It basically said that buyer agent commissions can't be paid by the seller's agent. There's a lot of nuance to that. A lot of people were afraid it was going to get rid of or dramatically reduce the number of buy side agents and bring down commissions overall. Maybe even they would be replaced entirely by AI. That never really happened, or at least hasn't materialized yet. But even bigger shifts are on the horizon. For instance, the clear cooperation policy is under threat. If you don't know what that is, that's okay. It's a National Association of Realtors policy that basically states that any listings, any homes for sale that are publicly marketed must be posted to the MLS almost immediately. The policy, the NAR argues, adds transparency that all agents have access to all listings as long as they have MLS access. It's also helpful to companies like Zillow that can just get their listings from the MLS. They don't have to go to multiple places. But it also entrenches the power of the MLS and, some argue, reduces seller choice. That is, they have to list their home on the MLS, which some brokerages don't like. Compass, for instance, want to be able to have private exclusives, listings that can only be found via Compass. So we'll talk about some of the dynamics there, as well as how Sue sees the future of residential real estate. But before we do that and welcome Sue to the show, I do want to thank Neutral, our sponsor for season two of the Thesis Driven Leader Series. We would not be able to do this without the support of Neutral. They are a multifamily real estate developer, redefining multifamily with a focus on sustainability, resident health, and well-being. They have the tallest mass timber and passive house residential building in the U.S. under development right now with state-of-the-art wellness club in Milwaukee. Awesome company, and I really want to thank them for their support today. If you're interested in getting involved in what they're doing, you can check them out at invest.neutral.us or connect directly with their team to learn more. So, now we're excited to welcome Sue to the show and dive into the conversation. Sue, so excited to have you on the Thesis Driven Leader Series. Thank you so much for joining the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited we made this happen finally.
Absolutely. When we were on the stage together at Blueprint last September, there was attention being paid to this NAR settlement, which had just landed 2 or 3 weeks prior. And there was a lot of consternation out there in the world. And I think now, 8 months after the fact, it seems from my seat it was much ado about nothing. Is that true? What changes have actually materialized in the market today?
It's interesting to hear from your seat that it doesn't feel like, that it feels like much ado about nothing, because I promise you there was significant work and change in how agents operate, how we run our business. Perhaps it's a testament to the industry and the resiliency that agents leaned in to how they have to do business differently today than they did pre-August 24. Significant changes. I mean, everything from how and what a consumer must do with an agent before they can go even look at a home and tour a property when things are negotiated during a transaction. So significant differences in the process and how we operate. It was a significant effort to prepare all our agents for that. Agents are resilient. They lean in and learn a new way to do things. And we're seeing that in their conversations with consumers. And all of this taking place against the backdrop of a volatile and challenged housing market. It's an opportunity for agents. And we're finding them really lean into expressing their value to consumers in a different way. And I think that's a good thing, right? The change in the behaviors has required that really upfront conversation about what value the agent is providing. That's a really good thing for the industry.
I think it speaks to your point, to the adaptability of the industry to take these changes, internalize them, roll out some substantial procedural changes. But I think the doom and gloom we were seeing in that period of time, that we're going to see a mass exodus of agents from the market, commissions are going to fall asymptotically to zero, we're going to see AI agents everywhere, and I want to talk on a few of those threads. But largely, those changes haven't materialized.
Yeah, we haven't seen that materialization as you're characterizing it there. And I think that part of it is we're still really new into this change. It's been less than a year that these changes have been implemented, rolled out, fully adopted. It's a transactional business. So these are conversations that happen one at a time with consumers. And we report our numbers publicly. We're one of the only in the industry that do. You can look back on our earnings call from the beginning of the year to dig into what our results have been. I think there's been some shift in the business. And I think time's going to continue to tell as we evolve through it and as those one-on-one conversations occur with consumers, how that impacts the overall economics of the transaction.
One prediction made last September was that the number of agents, 1.6 million realtors out there today, is going to go down. Part of that is macro. Part of that might be out of this settlement and some of the fallout of that. Do you still believe that's the case, that number of agents is going to come down over time?
I do think we're going to see a drop in overall agent count. 1.6 million is a big number. And last year, 4-something million transactions, that number doesn't really work. Agents leaving the business is not a bad thing. I believe the business is going to see and continue to see the strong agents doing more business, the hobbyists perhaps exiting the business. And that overall, that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing for the consumer. It's not a bad thing for brokerages. I think it elevates the craft, if you will, that these agents and the value that they're providing. Consumers are going to be demanding more, and that's okay. And I believe that we will continue to see the stronger agents do more business and others exit.
There's certainly a long tail of agents, a lot of people who do a little bit of interior design, a little bit of real estate brokerage, a little bit of this and that. And we actually, funny enough, out of our education business, launched a course to try to teach some of them real estate development. Maybe they can build some duplexes in addition to their brokerage. We'll see how that goes. One other prediction I did want to talk about, the role of technology in the market. There was a big part of the debate last year around, are we going to see AI agents, customers saying, I don't need a human to do this. I'm just going to go talk to an AI and it's going to be my buy side broker. Are you seeing that at all in the market? Have any of these AI agents emerged and gotten on your radar?
Look, one thing, and we talked about it, and it's something I feel very passionately about, is remembering the fact that a real estate transaction is inherently a personal experience. There is a significant amount of human interaction that must occur from a trust-building perspective, from the emotional side of this transaction. And while I believe that technology will continue to be a significant enabler of agents helping streamline the paperwork and making the back office process easier, even the search process easier, it's important to remember, like, on average, a person buys and sells a home every 10 years. It's the largest economic investment most ever make. So while I am all for and have continued to see the evolution of an innovation of technology in our sphere, I think it would be kind of naive to say that the vast majority of people, of buyers and sellers out there, are going to abdicate a huge portion of that consultative approach, of that advising that an agent does to a bot right now. That is not to say that I don't believe there's a significant place in our industry for technology. I just think you're that belly-to-belly kind of conversation that occurs between an agent and their consumer, it's going to be hard to replace with a bot and with any AI, in my opinion.
The flip side of that is how technology is impacting the work of the agent. This sort of goes part and parcel with the last question of 1.6 million realtors selling 4-ish million homes in a year. I know they're not all full-time, but it seems like an inefficient allocation of human capital on a macro standpoint. Are we going to see those top agents using more technology to get more efficient? And if so, where is that technology going to play?
Absolutely. We are seeing that today, and I believe we will continue to see that leveraging of technology to create more efficiencies in their day-to-day workflow. We see that in marketing. We are using AI in creating listing presentations, in the world of photos, if you will. We at Anywhere within our listing concierge product won top uses of AI for a brokerage business last year because we are integrating that into our tools. Certainly in document workflow, in lead nurturing, so that agents and their teams are focused on higher quality leads because they've either been nurtured by AI in some way. So we see that a lot, and I see that continuing, that trend continuing, because there's only so many hours in a day. And when you can leverage technology to drive more throughput, the best are going to lean into that, whether it's email responding, whether it's chatbots on listings, whether it's nurturing leads. Marketing is a huge space where we see AI being leveraged today. That's going to continue to evolve.
I'm curious around the technology choices. There are some areas where it's really obvious and you'll want to, as Anywhere, invest in building or choosing the best practice technology. But, you know, obviously your agents out there are franchise holders. How much control do you exert over them? How much flip side guidance do you give them on how do you navigate this like brave new world of AI and everything going on out in the world?
One thing I do is learn a lot from our agents as to how they're thinking about using it, right? Because in many ways, these entrepreneurs are already thinking ahead of or implementing in their own business, maybe haven't crossed my radar or my team's radar yet, right? They're the true practitioners of the business. So learning from them is important. Obviously, our franchisees are independently owned and operated, and our agents are independent contractors. So guide is probably the right word for that. We do try and provide significant education for folks. We definitely look at emerging trends and technology, especially in AI, and drive awareness on some of the risks associated with some of that as well, right? Like if you're using AI to write a listing description, that's great. That probably saved you maybe 20 minutes a listing or something. But if you're not verifying the data, that's on you. We try and balance that education and that awareness, but we try and drive them to understand how it can help with a franchise, how they can potentially remove cost from their P&L by implementing more automated technology solutions to do certain things, especially deal processing and that type of stuff. But we try and be a source of awareness and just at least get them to think about, if I'm going to use this, here are my watch outs. Obviously, nobody is out there saying, please tell me a way to sign more paperwork in a real estate transaction. Like, we got the market covered, but they are saying, how do I make this more efficient and streamlined with technology? What are my watch outs? What do we need to be careful for? It's that balanced approach that we try and provide when giving guidance and sharing what we're doing internally with our affiliates and agents, and then learning from them, as always.
Totally. I'm sure there's a lot of guardrails whenever you talk about the interaction with the buyer on AI. If a buyer comes to an agent, says, hey, I'd really like to buy in a white neighborhood, like an agent knows how to handle that question. But of course, like a robot needs to be trained.
Yeah, there are real risks that you point out on fair housing concerns. We have a responsibility. We believe at Anywhere fully in transparency, options for all buyers and sellers to access information. And you have to be really careful with this stuff. It is that balance of leaning in to understand it, leverage it, but not being just blind faith in the technology because the rules haven't changed. The way you have to behave and the fiduciary you have and the ethical responsibility. And we're still learning that. And that's an education process that we take very seriously.
So maybe just like a tactical operational question, how do you staff that and build that team within an organization like Anywhere where you've got so many franchisees out there across different brands? How do you build that? Did you go hire technologists, advisors, people who understand this world?
We have our technology and product team that is enterprise-wide that looks at both how we're doing that internally and how we're leveraging that as an internal organization. They look at stuff from the product side, what's coming up in the industry, what do we want to be thinking about? We have our own teams internally that are our innovation teams that are thinking about new and different ways. And you balance that with your legal teams and your PR and comms teams to bring it all together, your training teams. How are we then disseminating this information? How are we reviewing products? What's the balance between risk tolerance and innovation? So we staff for that and then have an overarching process of how we communicate this all out to our networks and to our agents and make it accessible to them.
So when you go out and look at the world of technology right now, are there particular concepts or areas you're particularly interested in, or better yet, tools you wish existed but don't?
Yeah, I'm always looking at stuff. And more than anything, it comes to me. I get a lot of information pushed my way on stuff. And I have the team look in a lot of that. As I mentioned, I truly don't want to be redundant, but it really is the most critical area for me is that efficiency gain, whether it be in the front end of the transaction for the agent, taking work off their plate that allows them to be spending more time in the highest and best use of them, which is with their client, out showing homes and negotiating the transactions. I think that's really important. The other thing I would really like to see perfected, right? Because you mentioned the size and scale of just take Anywhere. I have 6 brands. They're global. There's over 350,000 agents. Many of them use a lot of different tools. There's not really a one-stop, like everybody's going to use this thing, right? There is the idea of across the transaction, a tool that is perfected to automatically integrate all these different products and these integration points so that the transaction is super smooth for the consumer. Very difficult. It's a very fragmented user experience right now. Anything that I see that can more seamlessly integrate the experience from the dreaming to closing phase, if you will, for the consumer and the agent along that journey is going to be very impactful.
I love that. And it's remarkable. I spend a lot of time in multifamily, as our listeners know. And it's remarkable how analogous the questions, the needs for technology are across the multifamily and residential sector. You talk to the biggest owners in multifamily and they're like, how do I tie all these disparate pieces together where there's different data sets, different technology stacks? They don't all neatly tie together. And that's a negative end user experience.
It is. You think about it, and you're familiar with this, of course, as I'm sure many in the audience are. We have 500 MLSs in this country. Even just from the jump, the consumer experience is different wherever they are and whatever they're utilizing. It is this fragmented process across the ecosystem that can be a lot. And that is why I come back to saying that human piece, because navigating that complexity from your dreaming and your looking to your searching and your actively out there to now you've got your title, your mortgage, your insurance, the entire process. And we happen to have that full service ecosystem here in our brokerage with a fully integrated title business and mortgage. We are focusing on that integrated technology for the consumer and the agent. Because when you go elsewhere, you go over here, then you go over here, you have all these pieces. I'll tell you a funny story. I was buying a house myself a couple of years ago, and we were sitting in the car, and it was my husband and myself, and we were each on a phone with somebody. He's on with an attorney. I'm on with the realtor. We're at all these different conversations. And he looked at me and said, "Can you not fix this process?" And I said, "I'm trying." He goes, "No, like really you? Yeah, I feel like that's your job." But it's true. We all go through it. And so I think that's where the focus on technology in our industry should be.
So you mentioned more than 500 MLSs. I actually, for random reasons, had to look this number up the other day. It's 535 in the United States. Obviously, they are under some degree of threat right now with Clear Cooperation, perhaps falling by the wayside. The NAR recently released a set of tweaks, I guess you could call them, to Clear Cooperation, basically giving agents a little more leeway in private listings for longer periods of time. Zillow fired back. I was a little surprised the aggressiveness of Zillow's response, saying that if a listing has been private for a certain period of time, it can never be listed on Zillow. I'm paraphrasing there, hopefully more or less accurately. Where do you think it goes from here? Is Clear Cooperation dead, or is Zillow's volley going to be able to save it?
We've been on record pretty clearly. I have been. I wrote Not Bet on it anywhere as a company has been pretty clear that Clear Cooperation had room and continues to have room for not a full repeal, but reform. Homeowners should have options as it comes to how they market and sell their home. There's always the case for privacy. Everybody likes to tout the multi-million dollar homes and security and privacy, and that's there, of course. But there's also reasons why another seller may not want everybody knowing that their house is on the market. And we can talk about those, but I think we can figure most of them out to include multiple different reasons. We were really pushing for reform, not repeal, with some sort of industry conversation about where we ended up. National Association of Realtors issued a decision that created this delayed marketing thing. It did leave a lot of questions still, and it left a lot of implementation of it out to the 535 MLSs, which adds continued complexity into the process. Look, I don't know what's going to happen with Zillow's response. This early days in the change that's even NAR has come out with. I think people are figuring out what that means, and there are a lot of questions. But the key in all of this is, what is the consumer going to do? What does the consumer want? Because ultimately, that should be driving where we as an industry go. There are lots of reasons why people are on both sides of these debates. And if you spend a couple minutes, you can figure it out. But ultimately, that consumer is going to drive where the industry goes, I believe. And I think that means there's an education process. I think there's some continuing to look and see. We as an enterprise are ensuring that our networks, whether it be our own agents with our own business, whether it be franchisees across our multiple brands, won't ever be disadvantaged, no matter which way the world goes. For me, it always comes back to, what is the best thing for the consumer? What is the right way to market that consumer's home? And what are the options available for them? Because there is not one size fits all. Every single home is different. Every seller is different. Every buyer is different. And I think that leaves a lot of opportunity for us to think about solutions that solve the needs for those consumers. I don't think we're done. I think this is going to continue to be pretty fraught. There's going to be some noise, and we're going to continue to watch what happens here for sure.
Yeah, I think one of the most fascinating issues in real estate right now, because I think that there's a lot of different layers to it. This was one of the things that brought me in and got me writing about the brokerage world in residential from commercial, because it's interesting, this idea that there's an antitrust case out there, or at least there was, against Clear Cooperation because there needs to be competition amongst MLS systems. Never been something that I had considered before. Until some folks started an alternative MLS, obviously ran up against the NAR-endorsed local MLS systems, of which there are 535. It's fascinating, and I agree with you, this is going to come down to, hopefully, what is best for the consumer, and how does the seller and the buyer, how do they want their home marketed?
Yep. Buyers should have access to all the homes that are on a market that they are able to purchase. Limiting that is not ideal. And sellers should have the right to figure out how to market their home. And somewhere in there is where this is going to go, driven by the consumers ultimately. It's in my position where it should go.
I truly hope you're right there, that it's driven by what is best for the consumer and not what is best for firms that want to create little walled gardens of listings. I get why the walled people want little walled gardens of listings. I just cannot imagine that is best when you're talking about consumers. You're not talking about commercial buyers. You're not talking about real estate investors. You're talking about people trying to buy their house.
And look, before Clear Cooperation, this requirement that a home be marketed on the MLS within 24 hours of any public marketing has only been in our ecosystem for 5 years or more. Yes. There's always been this marketplace where homes are bought and sold, and we have a phenomenal marketplace here in the U.S. Not everywhere in the world transacts residential transactions the way we do. And I think it is that it's what is the right thing for that home and for that seller, and that choice and that transparency is what I am all for.
Love it. One last question before we wrap up today. If we're doing this podcast and having this conversation in 3 years, what do you think is the single biggest technology trend we are going to be talking about in the residential world?
Wow, 3 years out feels like...
3 years out. We like to stretch it here.
With the way our industry has been going, Brad, I can't even begin to think where we'll be in 3 years, right? Everything we've been through in the last 18 months or so here. I think it is the trends that are favoring simplicity in the transaction. So whether it's Gen AI driven products, integrated technology, will be those things that drive simplicity into the transaction. And I think about how we do a lot of other things in our life. And we open this up talking about the resiliency of agents and how we've adapted to change. I think that the balance of the transaction needs to become simplified and really more integrated, as I've mentioned. We've adopted that in so many other facets of our life, technology to make our lives easier, to simplify everything we're doing. I believe that's going to be what we're seeing. And that, to me, will lead to a little bit of a flywheel with us able to close more transactions, to do more business, the stronger agents getting stronger, and growth in the ecosystem. And so that's where I think we're going to be in 3 years.
I love it. Sue, thank you so, so much for joining. We're unfortunately out of time for today, but I really appreciate you joining the Leader Series and taking part in this conversation.
Thank you very much for having me. As always, a pleasure to spend time with you.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. Next week, we're going to be joined by Jody McLean, the CEO of Edens, one of the largest retail owners and developers in the U.S. They own more than 100 open-air retail shopping centers and really have their fingers on the pulse of what's happening with consumer behavior, preferences, and the retail industry. We don't spend as much time on retail as I would like here at Thesis Driven, so I'm so, so excited to have Jody on the show next week to talk about retail macro trends and understand how she and Edens are playing into those trends. Thank you all so much, and see you next week.